Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This famous scene in the Gospel, which we had a little bit over a month ago at Sunday Mass, we'll hear again on Thanksgiving morning, talks to us about one of the most important aspects of our Christian life, our spirit of gratitude toward God. Jesus stressed that the one man who came back was a Samaritan. We presume that the other 9, because of where they were being met, probably were Jews. And the Jews, who had so many psalms giving thanks to the Lord for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, didn't come back and say thanks. It was only the Samaritan, only the foreigner. But we might ask ourselves the question, why was it the foreigner? What was it about him that led him to come back and say thanks and receive the far greater gift of salvation? Far greater a gift than the healing of leprosy. I think that the answer to that question is because this Samaritan leper lived in a spirit of thanksgiving. This wasn't an action in which he had been complaining all the time, and then all of a sudden, finally, something good happens to him, and he makes the journey back. My guess is that he was a person who always sought to be grateful for the little things, and when a huge thing happened, he couldn't help but return to say thanks. Later on in the Mass, we have a series of prayers in dialogue that we should never forget. I'll say, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." You'll say, "It's right and just." And then the priest will say once again, "It is right and just. Our duty and our salvation." It's not only a duty, it is the path to salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. We say that to God the Father. Always and everywhere. My guess is that the Samaritan leper who was healed was giving thanks even in the midst of his leprosy, and probably even giving thanks in a sense for the leprosy. Not as if the leprosy itself were a blessing, but that the leprosy was something that was bringing him into a new found trust in God. A trust that was fulfilled when Jesus of Nazareth passed by. We go, I think, most of us, through cycles of thanksgiving. It'll be episodic for us. I remember when I was a little kid, the day after Christmas, you know what our duty was that day? To write thank yous to all the people who had given us gifts. My parents were trying to form us in a spirit of gratitude, never to take gratitude for granted. But most of the rest of the year, when somebody gave me something, it would be a quick thank you, maybe a peck on the cheek, and then on and forgotten. It wasn't something that we were living with habitually. And I think that that's the case for many of us. We'll say thanks when somebody really goes out of the way, but we're not living in a constant attitude of gratitude. We can often see that in our prayer. The great litmus test, if we're really people who are grateful, is what dominates our prayers. When we say our prayers, are our prayers fundamentally of praise and gratitude? Are they fundamentally of sorrow, begging God for mercy? Are they fundamentally a list of petitions for others or for ourselves? If we're really, truly people who are grateful, always and everywhere, then our prayer is going to show that it's dominated by thanksgiving. The more we're grateful in the tough times, the more we'll be grateful in the good times. Doesn't necessarily work the other way around. But it's important for us to ponder those words. I say them sometimes at funerals. I remember saying it once, day after September 11th. I thought that people were going to cry out for my crucifixion. It is right always and everywhere to give God thanks and praise. Always and everywhere. And there are times where we think we're justified to complain, to moan, to murmur. And it's never. We're never really justified. Because even in the midst of the hardest human experiences, God's present. And for that reason, we should be grateful. For us who are Catholics, we've got the highest duty of all, always and everywhere, to give God thanks and praise. Because it is our salvation and the salvation of others. Today's first reading from the Book of Wisdom, it talks about the higher standard to which the Lord holds those who have been given more. It talks about leaders of the people, those who are in power over the multitude. And it says, the Lord shows no favorites, and He's going to hold you to more rigorous scrutiny, that you may learn wisdom, that you who keep the precepts hallowed will be found holy. The Lord tells us to give thanks always, and everything to rejoice. Others haven't heard that message. We have. And it's absolutely key that we do so. Many of us are French Canadian. I'm going to be going up to Montreal and Quebec City the next couple of days to scout out a pilgrimage. I was talking to a priest friend of mine up in Montreal who we're going to be staying with, and I was saying, how's it going? And he says, these people are tough. And it's true. I mean, in a sense, even though I'm Quebecois, when you work around the French, a lot of the times you'll get this and not this. Not necessarily a people of gratitude. Called to be a people of gratitude, but a lot of the times haven't been challenged in that way to be far more expressively grateful. The Lord does hold us as His children to a higher standard. Today in the feast of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, we see the secret. She had a very tough life. She was very ill as a little girl. She wanted desperately to be a missionary. When she was just 7, she used to dress up her dolls as nuns, put them in little boats on a little stream, and push them down as if they were going all the way to China. When she tried to apply, everybody found that she was so ill, nobody would take her. So finally, a local priest said, I've got an orphanage which is in shambles. Would you help organize it? And she did. She did a fabulous job, got some other young women around her. She was trying to speak to the bishop about entering a missionary order of sisters, and he said, Francis Xavier, they don't exist. You must found one. So she did, the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. She wanted to go to China, but she had gotten a letter from the Archbishop of New York, Archbishop Corrigan, asking her to come. She was about to refuse it, but she said, before I do so, I should probably talk to the Pope. So even though she was very short and basically not known at all, she went to ask if she could meet with Pope Leo XIII. And he said, yes. She described the whole case, a little bit about her vocation. And he said words that would change the history of Catholicism in the United States of America. He said, not to the East, to the West. Go to New York. So she came to New York. She was going to take over a huge orphanage that the Archbishop had established for so many abandoned kids. But when she got here, the benefactress who had, was supposed to buy it because of a dispute with Archbishop Corrigan reneged on her offer. And so that's the situation she found. And she was in a frustration, about to get on a boat to go back. But then with her toughness, she said, no, the Pope sent me here. And so she went back to Archbishop Corrigan. She said, I'm not leaving. So she went to talk to the benefactress, reconciled her with Archbishop Corrigan, and the rest, in a sense, is history. She started to found all types of charitable institutions in the U.S., and then in so many countries in South America and other parts of the globe. You know, I was just reading something last week on Cardinal Bergoglio, who's now Pope Francis, and he was speaking of the incredible work of Mother Cabrini in Argentina. What was amazing with the whole thing is, when she was just a little girl, she almost drowned in a river. And so she was always petrified of the water. And this is a girl who spent most of her life traveling by boat as a missionary from one place to another despite that fear. If she could do that, think about what we can do on our feet and in our vehicles. But bringing it back to today's theme, why was she able to care for those whom nobody else was caring for in such a holy way? Our opening prayer today taught us, because she was able to see Christ in the people for whom she was caring. And because she was able to see Christ there, she was able to be grateful for the opportunity. Even if this kid was so wounded and abused that was going to create hell for her and her sisters until the child be tamed, she was still saying thanks. Even when she was struggling through financial problems, she knew she wasn't abandoned, and the richest man in the universe, Jesus Christ, was her bridegroom. And so she was able to give thanks. Even when she was suffering for the last several years of her life, she knew that she wasn't abandoned on the cross, that Christ was there, and so she was able to give thanks. And that's precisely what we ask God to give us in today's opening prayer. For the opportunity, through her intercession, to be able to see Christ in others. Because that changes everything. Our duty and our salvation is to give God thanks, not merely in the good times, but to give God thanks always and everywhere. And the greatest way we give thanks is in the Greek word for thanksgiving, the Holy Eucharist. As we lift up the praise and thanks that God deserves. Praise be Jesus Christ.